Galatians 4, from verse 12 to verse 20. This is a very intimate, emotional, personal section in the letter to the Galatians. Words like this come over. I plead with you, brothers. Become like me. You have done me no wrong. Then he speaks of his illness when he preached there first of all. And though it was a trial to you, he said, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcome me as if I were an angel of God. What has happened to all your joy? You would have torn out your eyes for me if that had been possible. Have I become your enemy now by telling you the truth? My dear children, how I wish, and so on. I am perplexed about you. As he said in verse 11, I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. As I say, this is a very warm, personal, close, intimate section. You can feel the love the apostle has for these people. Paul is not one of these men who just deals in academic, intellectual arguments. His arguments are, to me, well, what was the word? Fabulous, I was going to say. That's not the right word. It's, they're fantastic. That's not the right word either. It's, they're so powerful. They're so concise. They're so, I'm amazed at his arguments. They're so clear. But there's a heart to this man. When he writes to the Romans, and he writes about the election and so on, how he pleads with the for Jews to be saved, how he longs for them, desires that they be saved, and so on. This man has a heart as well as a brain. Now, although it's very personal here, there are principles which are vital for us today. Let me just draw some of these principles out. The first thing I would say here is this. We must not regard the faithful preacher, and when I say preacher, I don't only mean pulpit work. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We must not regard a faithful preacher, a believer ministering to us from Scripture, we must not regard a faithful preacher as our enemy. He says to these people now, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Verse 16, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? I'm telling you some home truths here about yourself, about these teachers you've come to like. And I'm telling you that they're wrong and you're foolish for doing what you're doing, for adopting their principles and their teaching. The first principle, ministry of the word, whether in pulpit or in private, one of the aspects of that ministry, 2 Timothy chapter 3, is to reprove us and to convict us. A faithful preacher is not our enemy. A flattering preacher, a flattering friend, is an enemy. Another principle I would bring here. Paul says to these people very clearly, if you go down the route you're going, in fact you have gone down it, you will lose your joy. In fact, because you've gone down it, you have lost your joy. Verse 15, what has happened to all your joy? I tell you this, my friend. If you adopt law teaching, by good reformed men, I know, powerful arguments it seems, but if you adopt their law teaching, it will end in bondage. And I say this, whatever they write in their books, whatever they declare in their lectures, whatever they say in their sermons, they too have lost a sense of joy. I say that because law will bring fear, bondage. It is Christ who brings liberty and joy. And Paul spells this out here. You have lost your joy by going down this route. Now, joy is not the be-all and end-all. Truth must come first. But the consequence of false doctrine, the consequence of law, legal teaching, is fear and loss of joy. Paul here says a great deal about the motive of these law teachers. What do I learn from that? He said, what they're trying to do is get you away from us to form a party for themselves. They're zealous to win you over, but to no good. They want to alienate you from us, that you may be zealous for them. It's fine to be zealous and so on, but you've got to have the right purpose with it. Now, he's saying here that these men are working with the wrong motive. Now, I am not saying that. Of course, it's always possible. I speak to myself as a preacher, as a writer. The motive can be wrong. Search me, O God. Try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Yes, that's true. But I'm not ascribing motives. No doubt there are some who teach law and other things for the wrong motive. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, I think, are just looking for slaves, fellow slaves. But the Reformed teachers who teach law, the evangelicals who teach law, I'm not ascribing any false bad motive to them. Indeed, I will go so far as to recognize that they desire holiness in Christ's people and godliness and spirituality as much as I do. I fully acknowledge that. So I'm not ascribing motives at all. But it is a searching point to me as a preacher, and to you, my friend, too, and to you as a witness, as a Christian. What is the motive? There is a motive. There is another principle here, too. Zeal is good, but not in the wrong direction. Zeal is good, he said, provided the purpose is good. You see, these people are now zealous for the law, but they're going in the wrong direction. I'll tell you a story, a true story, against myself. I have found myself on a motorway, autoroute, interstate freeway, whatever terms you might use, travelling in the wrong direction, going north when I wanted to go south. I made a mistake on the interchange and got into the wrong lane and ended up going north when I wanted to go south. What can you do about it? Well, you just press on at the normal speed. So you're going, say, at the speed limit, say 70 or 50, whatever it might be in your country. You're travelling along and you're making good progress, but you're going every step of the way, every turn of the wheel is going in the wrong direction. And you've got to reverse. So you can get off and turn around and get on the other side and come down again. Zeal is good, my friend. But zeal is not all. Just like joy is not all. Truth leading to joy. Zeal must be for the right motive and based on truth. It's the truth must grip you, and that will bring life. That is what Paul is arguing with here. He's arguing out truth. Here he's coming to this intimate section, but he's argued out truth, and he will argue it out again, even more strongly. And it's the truth must grip the mind gripping, being gripped with truth, then the heart warmed by it, and the life living out. What is his next point here? Do not depend on the pastor. Look how he says in verse 18. It's fine to be zealous provided the purpose is good. And to be so always, and not just when I am with you. How many people depend for their spiritual life on the pastor? On the doctor, on the professor, the writer at the seminary, wherever it might be. And when he goes, they go. They've finished. Paul is arguing, you must have the truth mastering your mind, the truth of the gospel. This must rule your heart and govern your life. You mustn't depend on us. You must know Christ yourself, know the truth yourself. Do not depend on the pastor, my friend. How many churches swing radically when the pastor goes? I could rattle them off. Spurgeon, Metropolitan Tabernacle. Look what happened in the 1890s. Martin Lloyd-Jones at London. What happened not long after he had gone? And so it goes on and on and on. When you have these great men, what happens next is the most important thing. In political life, Margaret Thatcher. What happened to the Tory party after Margaret Thatcher went? It more or less went implosion. It more or less killed itself. It took a long, long time even to make any form of recovery. You may say, well, it won the next election by the skin of its teeth, but it just went down, down, down. Do not depend on the pastor. The truth shall make you free. Christ shall make you free. Pastors come and pastors go. Do not depend on the pastor. And what is the ultimate of all that he says here? What has he been longing for? How I wish, he says. What is he longing for? My dear children, for whom I am in the pains of childbirth. I am again in the pains of childbirth. See, he was like this at their conversion. Now he feels it again. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until what? Until Christ is formed in you. What is the object of his ministry? To sinners it is to bring them to Christ, that Christ might be formed in them. What is it for saints? To sanctify them. And how is that? Christ formed in them. And when you put all this together, joy, the truth gripping the mind, gripping the heart, and gripping the life, leading to joy, leading to zeal, not dependence upon man, mutual rebuke and correction and instruction and edification in the assembly, the pastor, the elders, the teachers, teaching us to build this up. What is the end of it all? Will the law do any of that? Not at all. Not at all. What will do it? The gospel. Christ. This is what he's preached to them. And what is the final end of it? The ultimate end? Christ formed in us. Us in Christ and Christ in us to the glory of God. What a motive. When I take up my pen to write, when I start to preach, when I witness to a friend or a neighbor, when I just live before men, what is my motive? The glory of God? Yes. In the saving of sinners and the edification of his people? Yes. But how will that be? Christ formed in us all. Unbeliever, you don't need religious principles, rules to follow. You need Christ in you. How do you get Christ in you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. For the moment you believe, you are included in Christ and Christ is formed in you. Believer, how is Christ formed in you? How is he nurtured in you, as it were? How do you develop that Christ in you? By law? No. By fear? No. By trusting him all the way, more and more looking unto Jesus. Cast your eyes upon him, and you'll be drawn to him. Keep your eyes upon him. Look to him at all times. I've used the illustration before. If you want to plow a straight furrow, put a stick at the far end of the field. Keep your eye on the stick. Don't look at the ground. Don't look at the sky. Don't look at the trees. Keep your eye on the stick and keep going. Aim for the stick. Fix your eyes upon Christ. So these are the lessons then. Faithful preachers are not our enemy. Law will bring us fear and loss of joy. Motive in preaching, motive in speaking is most important. Do not depend on men. Let the truth grip you, and that will bring life. Above all, Christ formed in you the hope of glory.